Thank you, Lord. Just thank you for this time we have together, Lord. Just I know we coming to church, it's just something we do, but it gets us closer to you. But it's nice to know that there's other people out there going through similar things or are just trying to learn about you, you know, that we could coincide and learn about you together. Thank you that just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the words that you're about to speak here, Lord, and let it be from you and not from me. And we pray for those who do not know you that they get to know you. Thank you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Revelation 1, verse 7. Not revelations, right? There's no S. It's just revelation.
Mm-hmm. Am I heard?
Sure, James.
Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even them who pierced him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen.
Amen. So John is letting you know that when Jesus returns, he'll be coming with clouds. So in that every eye will see him. You know, coming with clouds, kind of the opposite of when Jesus ascended. So when Jesus ascended, he's going up to heaven, right? Now he's coming down from heaven. Huh?
Did he bring anything with him when he went up? Did he bring clouds with him?
Bringing clouds.
Okay, when he takes me, I
want to
sit on a cloud.
You want to sit on a cloud? Yeah. That'd be so cool. Right? Be nice. Sleep on it. You'd be all moist. Yeah. But it's kind of like the version, in Daniel 7, verse 13. Jesse, can you read that? So very similar, right? And it just means that this was planned out long ago, right? This is planned out from the very beginning. Now, John gives us a little bit more details, like saying that every eye will see him. So there's been a lot of different ideas, and I've told you that this last week in Revelation, there's a lot of ideas. People come up, it's like, oh, well, maybe John's talking about this. Maybe he's talking about that. And will everybody see, like, Jesus just floating down from the sky, and everybody's on earth just looks up at the same time, and every eye sees him? That's a possibility. You know, we know with Jesus, anything is possible. So that's possible. And then television came along, and then people started thinking, oh, well, because of television, it'll be televised. But then teenagers don't watch television anymore, right?
Yeah, we do.
You do? Or do you watch Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook more?
I watch Disney Plus. I just watched Toy Story today.
Oh, you're... Well, so yeah, you're not your typical teen. The other teens, as in the back row, right, watches more of the phone.
Yeah, Jesse watches like Instagram every day.
Every day.
I just look at her phone.
So will there just be post and post and post?
Jesse always doom scrolls on Instagram.
I always doom scroll.
You don't have to though. You know, it can get addicting because it's just like, okay, I want to see something better. Just one more. It's midnight, but just one more. Now, John continues in just not, it doesn't just stop. And it's always good. It's always good to read more of the verses, right? And I've said this before. I think it's important. He says that. He continues and says that every eye will see him, plus Even the ones what pierced Jesus will see him. So the Roman soldier what pierced Jesus' side, you know, he's long dead. So I don't think he's talking about just that one person. It was kind of a saying, those who pierced him. So those who do not believe in Jesus, those who mock Jesus, they will see him. You know, John also goes on and says that every tribe on the earth will mourn or have regrets when they find out that Jesus is God. Can you imagine, you know, you seeing Jesus and realizing who he was and realizing, why didn't I believe earlier? You know, is it too late? So they're grieving, they're mourning, they will have regrets at that day. It would be a very bad day if you find yourself in that situation, wouldn't it? If it's like, man, it'd be a day of regrets. So is it going to be kind of a physical scene, like actual seeing him come down? Or is it going to be more of knowing in somebody's heart, in everybody's heart? Like, and, huh?
So I'm just like standing there playing games, and all of a sudden, I think, oh, hey, Jesus is here.
Right, right. You know, we just have that feeling.
Oh, Jesus here. Okay, save game. I don't really need to save it since I'm never going to play a game again. Since I'm going to be in heaven.
Right.
I'm like, here
for saving. Right, who cares? It's less important. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. Mia?
For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow down to me, and every tongue shall confess to me.
You need glasses? You read fine.
Yeah, it's blurry, though.
Oh, I need glasses. So every knee will... Every knee will bow, right? And every tongue will confess. Is it more like this verse? Yet John just puts it in a different way. And just saying that everybody will know who Jesus is. You know, what did John of the first century see, and how would he describe the 21st century? Have you ever thought about that? These visions are been so long ago, and we'll touch base in that later in this book. But you talk about somebody back in that day never seeing an automobile.
Back in my day.
How would you describe that if you didn't know what it was?
So basically, a car is like this box, right, and has like circles on the bottom. It's kind of like. And then it goes like that, and then there's wheels.
Right.
Mr. Ford revolutionized the production of automobiles.
Well, so John will later on, he even mentioned like a horse's carriage. Because all the horse, you know, everything, transportation would be a horse, and carrying or pulling by a horse. So a lot of people feel like those horseless carriages, and that's what automobiles actually were called at one point, horseless carriages. Is that what he's talking about? We don't really know. Sometimes the Bible is literal, meaning that everything it says is actually how it went down. But then there's also times where it uses a lot of metaphors. But the main takeaway is that everybody will know who Jesus is when he returns. You know, it wasn't back like in the day when people didn't really know. I mean, they had a sense of who Jesus was or people around, but this time everybody will know. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Stephen? All right, so has anybody ever you know, I don't know, like in the phones, and it depends on the how it's written, but ever see like the red lighting, red writing, the red ink in the Bibles? Yeah. So do you know what that signifies? That is just important. Right, that's specific Jesus' words. So my Bible will have this in red. So Jesus is saying these words. So Alpha and Omega. Do you know what those are?
Getting
the end of the Greek alphabet. Right. So it's the very first letter and the letter and last letter. So it's like A and Z. So Jesus was at the very beginning, he was God. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, he's God. And everything in between. He's always God. And that's what it's basically saying. It's like everything, you know, he's always God. He's continuous. He's everlasting. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Michelle. As of a trumpet.
Oh, okay, there's a comma there, so it wasn't sure.
Yeah, no. So John gives more detail on this vision he's known to be having, and he also gives more detail on who he is. He tells the people that he lives on the island of Patmos. So I talked about this last week. So anybody remember what Patmos, what it would mean to live on Patmos? Jesse, it looks like you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's a vacation island. It's like Ensenada. No?
Is it below Greece?
It's to the side of Greece.
Okay, so
it's like underneath Turkey to the side of Greece. It's about 66, 67 miles away from Greece.
Don't say that.
Sorry. I had to now. I have to mention that every time I say Patmos. And so, do you know, since Jesse wasn't here, I'll explain to her, because I know you guys know, right? So, Patmos was a prison island. It was a prison island. So that's where they sent all the people, the political prisoners, or the people they just wanted to exile against. It's a penal colony. So what it would mean is that he's basically in prison, right? In that's why he says he's a brother and companion in tribulations. Because John went through tribulations, he suffered persecution because he believed in Jesus. That's why he suffered persecution. And that wasn't going to make him stop. So this would have been like a common bond for people back in the day, especially that, oh, well, he suffered similar things than I did. And it also showed how serious he was, how convicted he was. And then it mentions that he heard this loud voice that he could not ignore. It sounded like a trumpet. You know, anybody ever blow a trumpet? Right behind you? Yeah, it'd be like, whoa. You have to turn around and look at it. And then we'll find out what John sees. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. How did I get this? All right. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and first and the last. And what you see written in the book, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, to, and I have a cheat sheet, Smyrna, Pergamos, sure. Thyatira.
Huh?
That's not what the internet told me.
You put extra letters in there.
Thy rolled tire.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That word.
And then this one, I dare you. I mean, I would have put an S in there, and it didn't sound like, it sounded like a Ardissa.
Sardis? You're not.
Sardines? No.
Sardis.
Ardis.
Sardine.
And then Philadelphia. That one's, I got that one right. I got one. And Laodiceus.
Laodiceus.
So the seven churches in Asia, right?
Internet is wrong.
Sometimes the English language is very difficult. They have silent letters. Why do you even have a silent letter? Just take those letters out of there.
You put a knife in there anyway. If you took the K out of the word knife would not be as sharp of a word. Like, you have to think about this. Like, knife with a K,
it's
that's
stupid,
perfect.
Though.
It's perfect.
Knife without a K, it's not sharp. It's not a sharp word.
but home, if you put, like, change it out, is like, come. But it's home, but you just change out the first letter, and then you change out the
E.
You know, it's not comb, because comb was with a B at the end. So it's not home. Why does it change? Why does it change the letters, the sounds of home to comb, to come? Right? But why isn't it spelled?
Why are you combing your hair?
Right? Why isn't it? Why isn't comb spelled with an E? Because home spelled with an E.
And then comb should be C-U-M.
But this is an English class. But John tells him to write, or Jesus tells John to write down everything he sees. And he sends this book. He specifically sends this book to these seven churches. So these seven churches, and I talked about it last week, but these were very established churches. They would have been in a part of the world where a lot of people would be going through, is important, and a lot of things happen at these churches. And we'll find out more details on this as the book progresses. And I'll try to get those names down as we specificize on the cities. Revelations chapter 1. There's three slides from what I was told. Chapter 1, 12 through 16. James, do you want to read that?
I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and revelation.
And?
Golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of music, many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength.
Yay!
All right,
so there's these seven golden lampstands, right? And there's somebody sitting in the middle, or while he's standing in the middle. And in the middle it says, image like the Son of Man. So that's Jesus when the Bible says that. So there's Jesus, has seven lampstands around him. This is what, when John turned around from that voice, he's like, oh, what's going on? And he turns around and he sees Jesus in the middle of these seven lampstands. And the garment that he was wearing, that John's describing, it signifies that Jesus is our high priest. I mean, he's the one, you know, like the in-between to go to God, right? He's the high priest. The golden band that it talks about, gold was always a symbol for being a king, a ruler. And Jesus is our king. His hair being white as wool. It's not talking about that it's nice and soft or anything or curly, but it's talking about wisdom. And who's wiser than Jesus, right? Nobody. White as snow. It'd be about purity. His actions are very pure. And his eyes like a flame of fire. Kind of scary though, but if your if your eyes were like a flame of fire, it's about righteousness in vengeance on judging, you know, unrighteous. So it talks about his righteousness. And then on his feet, right, he had the newest style of shoes. He had brass refined with the fire. And brass has always been a symbol for judgment. So when he's returning in this version, he's definitely going to come to judge. And many waters. Think about like a waterfall. Anybody's ever been by a waterfall? Right? A pretty big waterfall? Fairly big waterfall. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's not like super, super loud, but it's loud, right? You definitely hear it. So it's very, you notice the power, right? Don't you? You could see that it has power, and you could respect that power. And then in Jesus' right hand, he has what? Seven stars. Right. Good job. Seven stars. And then out of his mouth went like a two-edged sword. Right? Two-edged sword. So
is it like a lightsaber with the two sides?
Sort of. So a two-edged sword, their swords would only are sharp on one side. A two-edged sword is sharp on both sides. So if you could cut this way or you could cut that way when you're going through things, right? I do not think this is physical because that'd be kind of a weird thing to see somebody with a sword sticking out of your mouth. I think it's more out of his mouth. The words that he spoke came out like a two-edged sword, saying that the truth will cut through lies very quickly, right? And Jesus always speaks the truth. So I think it was just the way it came out. It was just very powerful and sharp. Everything Jesus said or says, we should listen to. Just like our life depends on it, we should listen to it. No matter which way it moves, if it moves to the right or left, meaning a two-edged sword, so it's coming back and forth, it'll cut both ways. In his countenance. Do you know what countenance? What it means, talking about somebody's countenance? Countenance. Yeah, that's what I said. Countenance. What did you say? Council. Council. Councilments? No.
Count Dooku.
Yeah, Count Dooku. Do you know what it means?
Did you say Count Tutu?
Does anybody know what that refers to? Your continence, continence.
Consciousness.
Oh, Jesse got it.
Yeah, like your consciousness.
Well, like Chinese context.
Huh?
His righteousness, like his. What is a word?
Well, yeah. His aura, there's good. Yeah, so it'd be, you know, like how your presence is. Do you go in there and are you, like, you go, okay, that person is in charge. I know, just the way he stands, the way he carries himself. No?
I don't let anyone be in charge of
me. Well, then you're in charge.
I'm in charge of myself.
Right? So your countenance would stand up firm. Your countenance is just the way you present yourself. Right?
Yeah.
It was bright like the sun. So it was very, his glory cannot be hidden. Jesus' glory cannot be hidden. Elijah, 55:8-9.
Isaiah.
Isaiah, sorry. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Jesse.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Your nose is shiny. Okay, let's focus on
that. That's not okay. Jeez. Sometimes there are things about God that we don't quite understand, right? There's things about God that we don't really understand. Knowing that God's understanding is like another level. It is another level than ours. Especially compared to ours. There's things what we may never understand.
We'll probably understand it when we're in heaven, though.
Right, right. In Psalms 46, verse 10, Mia?
Be so and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
There are times if we're patient, if we're still being patient and trusting in God, knowing that He is God, sometimes plans, his plans will start making more sense. So, anybody knows what the lampstands represent? Those seven lampstands. Anybody knows what those, yes, you know? Oh. Those seven stars represent. You're very, very close. Very close. Very close. I think you got him.
Say what you said, but opposite, because that's what he said. He was like opposite.
Revelation chapter 1, 17 through 20. And this is 7, so Mia has this, right?
No. I thought Mia already read.
She did. Stephen, do you want to read, or do you want somebody else?
When I saw him, I fell at his feet and dead, as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive for
evermore. Amen. Right. Yeah, sorry.
And I have the key of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw in the seventh church.
Why did it say Hades? Because I thought Hades was just a long one.
That is a long one. Because Hades was the Greek place where, it's hell, where people went down. So Jesse was right as far as, but it wasn't the stars weren't the churches. The stars were the angels or the light.
The what?
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it the other way. I'm sorry. Then you were right. You were right. I apologize. So as always, it's like, everybody who's seen God or had this vision of God or an angel, they're very struck with awe, and it's like, oh, he fell down as dead. Not that he died, but he's just like, I'm not worthy. But the awesome thing is that Jesus, what did Jesus do? He reached over and he grabbed his shoulder, signifying that he loves him, right? Jesus loves us. Just unimaginable love that he has for us. And then he talks about having the keys to Hades and death. Like I said, Hades was basically hell. That's the Greek word for hell. It is also their Greek god is Hades for hell. But we know that's a false god, but it was just a place where the dead goes. So he has the keys for it. That means that doesn't have any power. Jesus died, and then he came back from the dead. That doesn't have hold any power of them. And then we see that like we've said, is the lampstands were the churches, signifying these churches, and then the seven stars were the angels. Our light going down to these churches. I don't know. I think that's where people probably get guardian angels. I don't know if every church has a guardian angel or what. But we know that he sent them there, whether messengers or just a protectance over them. But it's kind of setting up this version, because then as the book progresses, we're going to be starting in looking at each church and what those churches signify. All right, Michelle, can you close this in prayer?